I'm going to be talking about the third level of consciousness that Beckwith talks about, and this is called channel consciousness. And in channel consciousness, you become a vehicle or an opening for God expressing through you. And the major differentiation between this and victim consciousness and manifestor consciousness is that it's not about your will, but it's about divine inspiration working through you. So if you remember, we talked about victim consciousness about a month ago, where life is done to you and your thoughts, the thoughts that run through your head are the ones that your culture or your environment gives you. And instead of being inspired, you do what they call mentating. You could be obsessing, but when you get to channel consciousness, life is done to you also. So in that way, it's similar, but it's done to you from a higher perspective, and you become the channel, and you practice letting go. And the primary practice is meditation. According to Beckwith, meditation is one of the most powerful spiritual tools to awaken you to the realization that your life is the life of God. And so if you practice on a regular basis, you'll become utterly convinced, because it'll be a tangible part of your life, of your connection to Source. Now, originally, I was not going to be giving this talk, but then after a little discussion with Connie, I decided this is the right presentation for me to be giving. And to be honest with you, when I gave the talk on victim consciousness, I spent so much time focused on that subject that I created some upset in my life. Quite a bit. And so I needed an opportunity to relax and let go some more. I needed to focus on the basic spiritual practices that we have here in religious science, which is to pray and to meditate. And it also gave me an opportunity to look at the fact that I'm really good at willing things, that I can get a picture in my head and I can make it happen. But the fact of the matter is that you get tired of that after a while, and you want to just relax and let life happen to you, because often better things happen when you just let go. And so this seemed like the perfect talk for me, and so I began to re-embark on a regular meditation practice. One of the things that I had discovered was that meditation for me had taken kind of a back seat to all the things that I was doing. And so I've cut back on my doing, and I'm focusing more on being and being present. And so I think that it's been interesting, because analogous in all of this is the letting go process. We are giving up victim consciousness, you're giving up your ability to manifest, and you're giving up so much, but you're letting a lot more into your life as you do this. And so as we grow in these phases of consciousness, we learn that most of our life is it's actually wrapped up in Source energy if we just let go and let it happen. And continuing to meditate on a regular basis will help you to release whatever belief you have that you have to do it all, and that, you know, God is out there, which is what some of us were taught as children, but God is really coming from within. So meditation is paying undistracted attention to reality. This is Beckwith's definition, and it's paying attention to that which is eternal. It often has the effect of putting you into the zone. And I like using the analogy of music, the performing musician. Like a classical musician will spend hours every day doing scales, doing arpeggios, you know, what we call etudes or exercises, and memorizing huge amounts of music. And it's all aimed towards that hour or so when you're on stage in front of other people. And a lot of times, when you've put all that work into your preparation, you let go and you start performing, and all of a sudden you feel this tremendous oneness, almost a bliss. You feel a melting with the audience. And this happens on different levels, to athletes, to artists, to many people. And so whatever creative activity we have the ability to be in that field of bliss. And so just a couple facts for you. In 2007, there was a study done by the government, and they said that roughly 10% of adults in this country have practiced meditation within the past 10 months. And this was up about 3% from 2002. So the number of people meditating on a regular basis is growing. So if you're meditating on a regular basis, you're part of a growing number of fellow Americans, and I'd like to see that percentage grow even more. There are two essential qualities for practicing meditation. The first is earnestness, and the other is intention. And intention means a strong desire to wake up and to experience the benefits of meditation. And earnestness and a regular practice go hand in hand. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like it. And it's at those times when you get the most benefit from meditating. And by being sincere, it allows that inner dimension of yourself to rule as opposed to your emotions. And so all forms of the meditation, I'll talk about different forms later on, depend upon those basic principles of earnestness and intention. So if you practice more and more, you'll find that you're actually meditating more as part of your day-to-day life. You may find, for instance, if you're caught in some kind of a challenge, that you start paying attention to your breath and that you're able to self-soothe a lot faster. And eventually you'll spend a lot less time in the victim or manifestor consciousness levels. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you'll never go back there. I think that over the span of a lifetime, we go back and forth and back and forth. And it keeps reinforcing our desire to be in the flow, so to speak. So there are a lot of benefits to meditation, and I'm sure that we've all heard of them. But I'll just mention a few. It does build our self-confidence. It helps to reduce anxiety attacks by lowering the levels of blood lactate. It increases serotonin, which will influence your moods and your behavior. And low levels of serotonin are associated with depression, headaches, and insomnia. It'll give you more energy and vigor. It'll help keep your blood pressure normal. And I have a good friend right now who's spending a lot of time meditating because she's got a lot of anxiety, a lot of issues coming up, and it's helping her a lot. It helps to create a state of relaxation, and it helps to increase your ability to concentrate. It strengthens your mind. It helps with weight loss. It helps with heart disease. And I could go on and on, but that gives you an idea of some of the reasons why meditating on a regular basis is a good idea. So there is no one perfect way to meditate. If you're so inclined to sit in a corner quietly focusing on your breath, have at it. But frankly, that's not me, and probably never will be. A mindfulness meditation. You can sit quietly. And all the sounds around you become kind of like actors in a play. Your mind becomes fluid and without focus. That's good if you could do it. But I prefer what's called a focus meditation. And you can focus on a sound or sounds. An object like a candle. Some people stare at the flame in a candle. Or focus on a thought, and you stay committed to that one thing throughout your meditation. And if you are into guided meditations, those fall into that category as well. I personally like this style of meditation because it's about the only thing that'll shut my brain off. Particularly, there are some excellent meditation programs out there that use technology to balance parts of the brain. One, it's called HemiSync? Right. There was an article in the Washington Post magazine section last weekend about the Monroe Institute and their meditation program. I'm involved right now in a a 21-day meditation challenge through the Deepak Chopra Institute, and I can send out, there's a free link to 21 guided meditations. It's a really good. They use a lot of sound. Every day they have a different topic. They have a different guide for the meditation, and that's an excellent way for me personally to meditate. Others find that movement works for them. They can walk and they can synchronize their breath, and they could just their focus becomes kind of diffuse, and they can meditate that way, or any kind of repetitive movement, focusing on the motion of your body and your breath. And lastly, of course, there's mantra meditation, which involves the use of chanting either aloud or internally. The most commonly used mantra, of course, is Om. So I'm going to give you a quote from Deepak Chopra's 21-Day Meditation Challenge. Hafiz says, "Learn to recognize the counterfeit coins that may buy you just a moment of pleasure," which to me is manifestor consciousness, "but then drag you for days like a broken man behind a farting camel." So Chopra says, "One of the greatest gifts of meditation is the clarity and peace it opens in our lives, allowing us not only to recognize the counterfeit coins, but to no longer feel compelled by them. Meditation helps us realize that all our happiness, love, and well-being reside within. In meditation, we tap into our own inexhaustible source of good as we release the need to seek it outside of ourselves." Doesn't mean that we don't enjoy our possessions, relationships, and activities. Only that we know we aren't dependent upon them for our happiness. So my message to you today is just try meditation. Find a form that works for you. There are a lot of books out there. You can do searches on the internet on meditation beginning. And just find something that appeals to you and stick with it. And eventually you'll begin to experience the higher realms of consciousness through your practice. And you'll find yourself moving from wherever you were to your next stage, into being consciousness, which is the next talk that we'll be getting at the end of the second meeting this month. So I want to close today with some thoughts from Ernest Holmes. This comes from the Foundations class manual, and those of you that have taken Foundations class have probably heard this before. Yes, Katinka? I thought it was commentary. "What the world needs is a spiritual conviction followed by spiritual experience," which of course is what meditation is. "I would rather see a student of the science prove its principle than have him repeat all the words of wisdom that have ever been uttered. It's far easier to teach the truth than it is to practice it. But the practice of truth is personal to each. In the long run, no one can live our life for us. To each is given what he needs, and the gifts of heaven come alike to all. How we shall use these gifts is all that matters. To hold one's thoughts steadfastly to the constructive, to that which endures, and to the truth, may not be easy in a rapidly changing world. But to the one who makes the attempt, much is guaranteed. The essence of spiritual mind healing and of all true religious philosophy is an inner realization of the presence of perfection within and around about. It is the hope of heaven, the voice of God proclaiming, 'I am that which thou art, and thou art that which I am.'" And so it is.
So it is. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.